Our scripture reading today is Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 21. Let us listen for the word of God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Let's begin our time of study this morning by praying for each other. If you would look around the sanctuary and let your eyes be drawn to someone that the Spirit might want you to pray for this morning. Balcony, if you would include the choir. As you look around, choir, if you would include the balcony. It may be someone you know, it may be someone you don't know. Have a mental image of them in your mind. And then let us bow our heads and pray. Pray for the person that your eyes have been drawn to, that during this time of worship, God might speak the word of encouragement and challenge into their lives that they need to hear today, whether it's spoken out loud or not, that God might speak encouragement and challenge into their lives. Now pray for yourself that you might be open to the word that God has for you today. We pray, O God, that throughout this service, in the conversations before and the conversations after, and everything that's said or done, that you might speak, that it might be your voice beneath all of our voices that we truly hear. Amen. So there's a life principle taught by Jesus that I've been trying to really understand for about a dozen years now. It's found in the collection of Jesus' teachings in the Gospel of Matthew called the Sermon on the Mount. And I first became most aware of it about 12 years ago when I was listening to the presidential debates. And in the second presidential debates in the year 2000, one of the candidates quoted this particular scripture verse. I got out my Bible and looked it up, and it turned out that he had accidentally misquoted it. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The candidate accidentally said, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." Jesus said the opposite. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will go. Al Gore said your treasure will be where your heart is. Jesus said your heart will be where your treasure is. Now, Al Gore's version, and part of the reason I looked it up, is because Al Gore's version actually made more sense to me. It seemed more reasonable that we will invest our time, energy, and money in the things we care about. That's the way I think. We will invest ourselves in the things that we care about. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. We give our time and money to the things we care about the most. But Jesus taught the opposite. Jesus taught that we will come to care about the things we invest our time and energy and money in. Over the long haul, over the span of our lives, we will not invest ourselves in what we really care about. We will come to care about what we invest ourselves in. Over the long haul, we do not go to the gym because we care about our fitness. Over the long haul, we come to care about our fitness because we go to the gym. And if we stop going to the gym, eventually we will stop caring about our fitness. I can personally testify to this being true. We don't go to excellent restaurants because we care about superbly prepared food. We come to care about superbly prepared food because we go to excellent restaurants. I have friends who are foodies. I'm not a foodie. I am perfectly happy at Trios. But occasionally, when our staff goes out to lunch, one of our staff members will say to the rest of us, oh, you've got to try such and such a place. And when we go to the places that he suggests, the food is just absolutely stunning. It's just absolutely amazing. Because he spends time in excellent restaurants, he has become a foodie. I suspect that if I spent time in excellent restaurants, I'd become a foodie too. You don't go to restaurants, you don't go to good restaurants because you are a foodie. You become a foodie because you go to excellent restaurants. Over the long haul, you don't read because you love books. You come to love books because you read. Over the long haul, you don't kiss your spouse or partner because you love him or her. You love him or her because you kiss. What we invest ourselves in is what we will eventually come to care about the most. This is what Jesus taught. Our affection, our attention, our passions, our caring will follow where we invest our time, energy, and money. We decide who we will become when we decide what we do with time and money. That's the principle Jesus taught. I think this is one of the reasons the Nationals work so hard to sell season tickets. There may be other business reasons to sell season tickets, but one of them is that if they can get you to commit to physically showing up 20 times in a season, they will have made you a fan. Theaters know that if they can get you to buy a subscription and commit to showing up throughout the theater season, you will be much more likely to care about theater. Orchestras know this. The decisions we make about how to spend our time and energy and money shape our hearts. And actually, the word that Jesus uses that is translated here, heart, is, it could also be translated soul. Where your treasure is, there your soul will be also. Where you invest yourself will shape your soul, your deepest identity. This is what Jesus taught. And this is why vocational decisions are such a big deal. We really make our vocational decisions too young. Because when we make a vocational decision, we make a decision about where we're going to invest 40 or 50 hours or more of our week. So our vocations will be very influential in shaping our souls, unless we manage to figure out how to do our jobs without being invested in them. I began as a kid curious about the Bible. I made a vocational decision that caused me to invest a significant part of 48 weeks of every year of my life studying the Bible. I've come to love the Bible because it's where I invested myself. The next Bible class I'm going to be teaching here at Foundry will be a class for teachers, a class for people who feel a leading to themselves become teachers of the Bible. If you really want to come to love the Bible, make a commitment to become a teacher of the Bible. What we invest ourselves in is what we will come to love and what will shape us the most. Household budgets are important because what we spend our money on shapes us as households. National budgets are important because what we spend our national budget on will shape what we as a people care about. It is not that we care about young people being able to reach their full potential, so we invest in education. It is that we invest in education as a society, and then we come to care about every child being able to reach their full potential. If we don't invest in education as a nation, we will not care about our children's future. It's investing in our children that causes us to care about them. I've decided that church membership vows are more important than I thought they were. For a couple years now, Al and Dawn have been trying to convince me of this. You know, one of the questions we ask people when they join Foundry is, as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, presence, witness, gifts, and service? So I'm not big on oughts or guilt tripping. A number of years ago, I started looking at all of my sermons and crossing out every time I said to people that they should do something or ought to do something. I don't like scolding people. I don't like being scolded. But I am starting to understand that the purpose of reminding people about our membership vows is not to scold us if we don't keep them well enough, but it is to remind us of the fundamental truth that if we do not invest our prayers, presence, witness, gifts, and service in our community of faith, we are eventually going to stop caring about the communal life of discipleship, service, and mission. Just like the gym. Every time we decide about church, we are deciding whether we are going to care about our spiritual life in community with others, and our mission and our growth. Dawn has been talking to me lately about the need for more Bible study here at Foundry, and the need for more small groups, and the need for more prayer groups where people come together and share and pray for one another. It's participating in groups like that, showing up and investing our time and attention and energy, that causes us to become more spiritual. We don't decide we want to be more spiritual and go to a group over the long haul. It's going to the group, studying and sharing and coming back and again, that again and again, that shapes our spiritual life. And I think Dawn's right. So we are inviting you today to invest in Foundry's mission and ministry. We're asking you to commit some of your treasure to Foundry's Mission Possible building renovation campaign. Much of our building is old and tired. It doesn't support well the mission and the ministry that we do. It doesn't support well the work we try to do with our children. It needs to be refreshed and upgraded and renewed for a new generation. So we are asking you to look at the treasure in your life, and we are asking you to invest some of it to help our building become more effective and functional. And we actually believe that this is going to be a good thing for us. That investing more of ourselves in our church will be a good thing for us individually and as a community, because we will be shaped by what we invest in. We will come to love more and more what we invest in, and we want to be shaped by the life of our faith community, where God's word is taught, where we pray for the world, and where we commit ourselves to the work of God in the world. I've asked Al Hammer, who is our associate pastor for operations, to help us think about where we can find treasure in our lives that we might consider investing in Mission Possible, Foundry's mission and ministry.
We have many treasures in our lives, including family, friends, time, health, and talents. But the one that Jesus spent the most time on, as exemplified in the scriptures of the New Testament, was that of our finances, our money. This will be my sixth capital campaign that I've had the honor and privilege of helping to lead and be a part of in the 15 years I've been in ministry. I continue to marvel at the creativity and spiritual growth that I find in folks as they are called to sacrificially give of their treasures. Generosity always finds its way to the heart, yes, to the soul. I discovered through people like you that there are at least four avenues of treasures and some passionate, unique ways of how to make them available to the calling of God. The first we call cash flow. This is the money that comes in and goes out every month. It's our budget. Last fall, I taught a class here at Foundry. It was the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. Through that 13-week course, Carol and I found ways to better budget, get out of debt, and save money. For example, we stopped buying cable TV, saving us on the cost and giving us more time. Yes, and time is very valuable these days. So saving on the TV saved us about $100 a month, as well as gave us more time together. We did other things like investing in Foundry's electricity co-op, which saved us about 15% on our electric bills. Because of this and other things in our changes in our lifestyle, we're better positioned to financially help with the Mission Possible campaign. The second avenue, the second way, is time and talent. The ability to use our time and talent to create additional streams of revenue and hobbies or avocations. This is the area where I found that folks were most creative. One family I knew of wanted to give to the capital campaign, but the dad had just lost his job, and although he was optimistic about finding another one, they barely were making ends meet with their current income and savings. As he was searching for a job, the idea came to him about the abundance of stuff the family had stuck around in all the different places in their home. Over the next 8 months, while searching for a job, he took the books, electronic equipment, furniture, and other hidden treasures he found around the house and sold them on eBay and Amazon. He had his very own online garage sale. He raised about $6,000 that he was able to give to the capital campaign just by selling those items. I actually got a thank you from his wife, because he cleaned out the garage and the attic. Another lady in the church I was serving used her passion for yoga and started teaching classes, dedicating the class fee to the capital campaign, and was able to raise over $3,000 over the 3 years. The third area or avenue of treasures that we all have is appreciated assets. Typically, these are stocks, bonds, or real estate. To increase one's gift, these can be given to the church for their disposal in order to avoid capital gains tax. One lady came to me back in the late 90s, saying that before she retired, she had been the administrative assistant for an executive in a local tech startup company. She had been there from the start, and in fact, the company hadn't paid much in the first years, but had given her generous portions of stock as incentive to stick with it while they grew the company. Well, the company did grow significantly over the years, and now the stock she owned was quite valuable. She was able to give the church close to $100,000, the full value of the stock, saving close to $35,000 that she would have had to pay in taxes. These types of gifts should be explored with the help of a trusted financial advisor, as they could be a win-win for both the donor and the church. The fourth avenue of our treasures is non-cash or gift in kind. These are items that an individual owns whose value has not increased, and the owner can dispose of it themselves. This can be collectibles such as jewelry, coins, and other valuables. I know of one young lady that I know of one young man that had invested himself in the youth group at this church and was very interested in helping to build the new church. As he was going off to college, he rediscovered his collection of baseball cards that he and his dad had collected over the years. Through a lot of research and negotiation, he was able to get about $1,000 from those cards, and that he was able to give very enthusiastically to the campaign. Another example of our campaign consultant shared with us was a young man who had come up to him and said he would like to give the proceeds from the sale of his lunch box collection. It gained over $30,000. Who knew? My wife Carol and I will be using a combination of several of these types of treasures to enable us to give generously to Mission Possible, including continuing to adjust our lifestyle and monthly budget, setting aside some of our appreciated assets we were planning to use for retirement, and, oh yes, if anyone needs some camping equipment, please see me.
Thank you, Al. So this is our opportunity to invest in the mission and ministry and future of Foundry Church. We want to invite you this morning to make a commitment to the Mission Possible campaign. Where our treasure is, our hearts will follow. We'll do this as part of our regular offering time, and we'll invite you to return a commitment card as you come forward to put your offering in the baskets which we positioned at the front of the church. You should have received a letter from me along with a pledge card this week for this campaign. I hope that you've taken the time to prayerfully consider how you might be able to participate. If you have not received a pledge card, our ushers have some to distribute, and we would invite you to take a pledge card now if you've not received one or if you forgot to bring it with you this morning. I also want to say a word to our guests and visitors. If you're a guest or visitor worshiping with us this morning, we are grateful for your presence. We don't expect you to pledge to our capital campaign. We would ask you to pray for us and during this time to be saying a prayer for us. And also, feel free to take a card to cross out the name of Foundry and put in the name of your local church, and then make a commitment on the card and take it back to the church that you're a part of and give it to them. I'm pretty sure that they will receive it. Now, for us as a Foundry congregation, we want to make sure that we all understand that today we are making commitments to the Mission Possible capital campaign. Usually at this time of the year, we do our annual stewardship campaign to support our operating budget for the mission and ministry that happens here day by day. This is not in place of that. We need you to continue your pledges to our operating budget. We want to continue to pay the utility bills and to support and compensate our staff and to continue the mission and ministry that we do. So what we are inviting you to do today is second mile giving. This is over and above your regular commitment to Foundry Church. We will have our regular annual stewardship campaign in February of next year. So we're asking you to continue your giving through the end of the year until we have our regular annual stewardship campaign in February. Don't stop giving your regular commitment and gifts. Don't have this be in place of that. So the Mission Possible campaign has had four parts. The first part was to plan. We have had leaders of this church studying our building and working with architects for the last year and a half. It's actually longer, but for this campaign, it's the last year and a half. The second part was praying. We've had an emphasis over the last 6 months to pray for this campaign. Our communications team has just done an excellent job of communicating, of inviting us into the campaign, inviting our prayers. You've had the opportunity to see a lot of presentations, to do tours of the building, to see the improvements that we will be making. If you haven't done a tour of the building, they'll be run right after the service, and we'd invite you to do that so that you can see the impact that your commitment will have. The total project that we are planning to do will cost approximately $10.5 million. Our goal in this campaign is to raise $4.5 million and then seek a loan to finance the balance in order for us to get this work done. So plan, pray. Today we're going to give. We come to commit ourselves through our gifts above and beyond our normal giving to the operating fund. Over the last 3 months, I've been in conversation with some of our leaders, and I am pleased to be able to announce that some of our leaders have already made commitments to this campaign, and their commitments total more than $2 million. So we begin with leaders who have made major commitments to this effort, and we begin not quite but almost halfway toward our goal. Plan, pray, give, and now we will build. As soon as we gather the results of your commitments and have a sense of where we are, we will develop our final financial plans. And we plan to begin renovation of our building in late 2013 or early 2014 so that we hope we will be able to complete it as we move into the celebration of our 200th anniversary as a congregation, which begins the summer of 2014. So I'd like to invite you to take a few minutes to complete your pledge card this morning, to pray for Foundry and your own commitment that will enable us to move forward into the future of ministry and mission that God has for us. And then after a few minutes of quiet time, meditation, and prayer, as you fill out your card, I'm going to be inviting you to bring your card along with your Sunday offering to the baskets. If you're in the balcony, someone will have a basket up there. Or you may walk downstairs and put it in one of these baskets. And we'll do that while we're singing a hymn together. So Stanley will provide us with some music to pray by and to meditate by. And we're going to take several minutes now to give you the opportunity, us the opportunity to complete our commitment cards.